first day of our readings this week on the theme of prayer invited us to read the two gospel accounts of the Lord's Prayer, the first one being from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, and the first 10 verses. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus told them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation.'" He also said to them, "Imagine that one of you has a friend, and you go to that friend in the middle of the night. Imagine saying, 'Friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' Imagine further that he answers from within the house, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything.' I assure you, even if he wouldn't get up and help because of his friendship, he will get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's brashness. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door is opened." This is the word of the Lord. Would you all please stand for the reading of the gospel from Matthew chapter 6, and I'll be reading beginning at verse 5. "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people will see them. I assure you, that's the only reward they'll get. But when you pray, go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't pour out a flood of empty words, as the Gentiles do. They think that by saying many words, they'll be heard. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray like this: Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom so that your will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us for the ways we have wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your sins." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Once again this morning, we've included some teaching notes with your bulletin, and I would invite you to take those out and follow along as we go through this message together. We've now moved into the second week of our Be One, Make One Discipleship Challenge. And I trust that you've been enjoying, as I have, getting into God's Word each day. If you haven't picked up your copy of the Common English Bible yet, there are still some left out there on the table in the lobby. There's also a daily reading plan that we're following along with. And so far, we have given away about 500 Bibles. Wow, praise the Lord. Now this week, our theme is prayer. And in the messages from week to week, I'm going to try to incorporate some of the lessons from throughout the week, certainly not all of them, but this week began with these two accounts that we've read from the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew, Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer as part of his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, as we just read, when you pray, don't go out on the street corners and make a big scene. Don't use a lot of flowery words. Go into your room, shut the door, and pray in that secret place to your Father. And then he says, pray like this, and he teaches us the simple words that we incorporate into our worship from week to week. In Luke, Jesus is praying in a certain place, it says. And one of his disciples says to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Now we notice that this disciple does not ask if he should pray. He doesn't even ask why he should pray, because he's seen Jesus returning to prayer again and again, and he's witnessed the power of prayer in the life of Jesus. Now, in response to this disciple's request, Jesus teaches them this prayer. Now, as we look at these two accounts of the Lord's Prayer, we certainly can identify some differences, but there is this one big overarching theme that connects them both together. And that's number one in your teaching notes. The goal of prayer is an intimate connection between you and God. The goal of prayer is an intimate connection between you and God. The entry for this past Thursday in the Daily Companion Bible that has some devotional thoughts with each of these daily readings raises some questions that maybe you have had about prayer. Often when we pray, it says, we walk away wondering, what if it doesn't work? What if I don't get the outcome I hope for? Or how can I be sure my prayers will be answered? We easily fall prey to the notion that if our effort is intense enough, or if our words are poetic and beautiful enough, we will get the desired results. However, that is not the definition of prayer. The goal of prayer is not to exert intense effort, and it's not to find those poetic, beautiful words as if God is far away and we have to do something extraordinary to get God's attention. We enter into prayer knowing that God is already near to us. We enter into prayer knowing that God already loves us. God already accepts us. God already desires companionship with us. In the account of Matthew, and the one that we most commonly use when we pray the Lord's Prayer, Jesus begins the Lord's Prayer like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I want to focus just on that simple sentence this morning as a way of bringing together several thoughts that we've read this week on prayer from the Scriptures. The Common English Bible translation that I read earlier says, Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your word. And the first word in both translations is the word our. And I think that's important. Because for one thing, praying the Lord's Prayer connects us to Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, "My Father in heaven." He says, "Our Father in heaven." He includes us in the prayer. You know, repeatedly, as we read the Gospels, we see Jesus going off to pray to his Father. And this was not by accident, because he was constantly modeling being connected to God through prayer. Jesus had such an intimate relationship with God, and he received strength and power and resolve from the time he spent with God in prayer. Jesus sought God in prayer before making big decisions. This week, we read from Luke chapter 6, these couple of verses. During that time, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night long. At daybreak, he called together his disciples, and then he chose the 12 that he would call apostles. Now, as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, wow, if Jesus, the Son of God, relied so much on God for big decisions and small everyday things in his life, how much more should you and I be relying on God in the circumstances of our lives? Praying this prayer connects us to Jesus. This week we read another prayer that Jesus prayed. It's over in the 17th chapter of John. Jesus prayed this prayer on the night before his suffering and death. Soon he would be departing this world. And he comes before God in prayer on behalf of those disciples he's leaving behind. And look at what he prays. "I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from this world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Holy Father, watch over them in your name, the name you gave me, that they will be one, just as we are one." Jesus and the Father are one. And his prayer is that you and I, as followers of Jesus, would be joined in that loving fellowship that exists eternally between the Father and the Son. Jesus reminds us here that prayer is not some special gift that was only available to him while he was on earth. That prayer is not some special privilege that's for just a few of his chosen saints. All of us are invited into fellowship with God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ through prayer. Just imagine that. Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, the Lord of history, the great I Am, invites you into an intimate, ongoing conversation. Prayer connects us to Jesus. And when we pray this prayer, and it begins with "our," we recognize that it also connects us to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And throughout this Lord's Prayer, both versions of it, we discover that it is a community prayer. We notice that all the pronouns in the Lord's Prayer are plural. We pray to our Father. We ask God to give us this day our daily bread, and to forgive us our sins as we forgive the sins of others. To lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray this prayer alone as individuals, but whenever we pray it, it always connects us with the Church of Jesus Christ in every place. Whenever we pray it together here in worship, it connects us to each other. Whenever we pray it at a wedding or a funeral, it connects us to all of those who are present with us. When join our voices with the voices of those who've gone before us as well, and those who will come after us, with those who are near to us and those who this day are worshiping in some far off distant land. On this Lord's Day, there are millions of Christians united in prayer. And as I think about that, I just imagine, where would this world be? Where would this world be without the prayer of those who name the name of Jesus? Our Father connects us with our brothers and sisters in every place. In Matthew 18, Jesus makes a great promise, and I'd like if we could read this together. Again, I assure you that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, then my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there with them. Now this week we read this remarkable story in Acts chapter 12 that is a testimony to the promise of Jesus here in Matthew. In Acts 12, we read how the wicked King Herod was harassing those who belonged to the church. And he had James, the brother of Jesus, killed with a sword. And when he saw how this pleased the Jews, he arrested Peter and put Peter in prison. He put 16 soldiers there to guard him. Wanted to make sure Peter had no chance of getting out of jail. And then Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, tells us in verse 5 what was going on while Peter was in prison. While Peter was held in prison, the church offered earnest prayer to God for him. So here is Peter in prison. And here are his brothers and sisters in Christ gathered in earnest prayer on his behalf. And that night, while Peter was asleep between two soldiers and bound with two chains, with soldiers guarding the entrance to the prison, suddenly we're told an angel of the Lord appeared. And the angel nudged Peter awake. Get up, Peter, he said. Get dressed. Put your sandals on and your coat. And before he knew it, Peter was following this angel out of the prison. And Acts tells us that the experience was so incredible that Peter thought he was dreaming. He thought he was having a vision. But by the end of this miraculous story, Peter is reunited with his church family. Herod is dead, and the good news of Jesus Christ continues to spread. I still picture that church offering earnest prayer on Peter's behalf while he seemed to be in hopeless circumstances there in that prison. You know, when believers pray together, earnestly seeking God in this world, we see God do things that otherwise may not be possible. Prayer is not just a ritual we perform in worship every week. Prayer is not just a quick nod to God that we give at church meetings or small group meetings. Prayer is not just a duty we fulfill when we read down over our prayer list. Prayer is a powerful connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer binds us together for a common purpose, and prayer still has the power today to remove chains, to release captives, to open doors, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can spread in places where it seems most unlikely. I know that some of you have some powerful testimonies about the power of prayer in your own life. We need to take Jesus at his word. If two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, he says, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Now I want to put the emphasis on that second word in this first line of the Lord's Prayer, the word Father. Our Father in heaven. You know, praying the Lord's Prayer, we affirm that God is our Abba, our Father. In this wonderful book written some years ago on prayer, Mary Catherine Pierce talks about the word Abba and what it means for us. The common word for Father is Abba, she writes, an everyday word, a family word like Dad or Daddy or Papa. Jesus' conversations with God had the same tone that a child uses with his or her father. Simple, intimate, secure. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus has his disciples repeat Abba after him. And in so doing, he gives his followers, that's all of us, a place in God's family and empowers them to speak to the Heavenly Father in a trusting way. In the Sermon on the Mount, just a little bit after Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, he asks a compelling question. Who among you will give your children a stone when they ask for bread? Or give them a snake when they ask for fish? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? Good things our Heavenly Father gives to those who ask. A couple of years ago, I was looking at these verses with a small group at a Bible study, and someone asked a great question. What are the good gifts we give to our children? You know, we realize that the good gifts are not just material things, although we want our children to have food and shelter and clothing. The good gifts, the really good gifts, though, are things like unconditional love, quality time, listening, encouraging, caring. Our children don't just want our stuff. They want our companionship. And how much more, Jesus says, does our Abba pour out those good gifts toward us? You see, when we pray this prayer along with Jesus and our brothers and sisters in every place, we are also affirming something about ourselves. We're affirming who we are, what our identity is in this world. The Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 8. He says this about us. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to lead you back again into fear, but you received a spirit that shows you are adopted as his children. With this spirit we cry, Abba, Father. The same Spirit agrees with our spirit that we are God's children. You are sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. You have been adopted through Christ into His family. When we were serving up in Center Hall, the pastor of the Lutheran church in town told me about the process that he and his wife had gone through to adopt their son Robert from China. And finally, after many, many months and much paperwork, they made the long journey to receive their new son. And shortly after they came home, they were in the local grocery store in town with baby Robert. And they saw a woman from their church. And she looked at the baby, and she looked up at Pastor Russell and his wife, and then she said, "So, will you have to learn to speak Chinese now?" Remember, she was Lutheran. Sorry. But she was not joking. Of course, Robert did not come into this world speaking Chinese. He learned English the way the rest of us did. He belonged to a family where everyone spoke English, and that became his language as well. You and I, we belong to a family too. The family of our Heavenly Father. And as we communicate with God in prayer, we learn to speak God's language. The language of love. The language of peace. The language of forgiveness. The language of respect for every person. Jesus says, when you pray, don't pour out a flood of empty words as the Gentiles do. They think that by saying many words, they'll be heard. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. God doesn't want us to wait until everything's in order in our lives, and then we can start to pray. We already belong to God. God wants to teach us His language. And we grow in prayer, not just by hearing sermons about prayer, not just by reading books about prayer. We grow in prayer by praying, by setting apart that time, that place in our lives where we can pray alone with God. And by putting ourselves in places where we can pray together with our sisters and brothers in Christ. And as we do, our Abba transforms us. And we live by a different language than the language that is so often spoken in this world. You know, as we continue in this prayer, notice that next line. Our Father in heaven. To be in heaven doesn't mean that God is distant from us, but it means that God eternally, unconditionally loves everyone. Heaven does not refer just to a place where God resides. It refers to a way of being as God relates to you and to me. Eternal, unconditional love for everyone. You know, on Friday of this past week, there was a very strange reading in our assigned readings for that day. It was from the Old Testament book of Daniel. And when I read it at first, it kind of left me scratching my head. The story of King Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of the great Babylonian Empire, who was so filled with pride. He didn't believe in prayer. He didn't even pay attention to God. And then he had the most troubling dream, and he called in his servant Daniel, who was a righteous man and who was able to interpret the king's dream. And Daniel explained that the king would lose his position and power, and then he would be driven away from other humans and eat grass like cattle, and grow hair like eagle's feathers and claws like a bird. And in time, this dream became a reality. And here's the amazing thing. The amazing thing about this story is that God, our Father in heaven, never gave up on King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel's faith in God, Daniel's belief in the power of prayer, led to this remarkable, amazing transformation in the king's life. And in Daniel 4:34, the king's own words are recorded after his conversion. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes to heaven. My reason returned to me, and I praised the Most High. I worshiped and glorified the One who lives forever, because His rule is everlasting. His kingdom is for all time. So here's the king of the great Babylonian Empire, giving praise and glory to God. This strange story, I believe, is there because it has a simple lesson for us. God desires fellowship, not just with some of us, but with all of God's children in every place, no exception. God desires fellowship even with that foreign king who wasn't even paying attention to God. Daniel never stopped praying for Nebuchadnezzar. We should never stop praying for those who are living far from God, because God is forever at work in every life and desires that intimate fellowship with all of His children in every place. The last phrase on this first line is, "Hallowed be thy name." Or in the common English translation, it reads, "Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name." As we close our service this morning, I want to ask you, what does it look like for you to uphold the holiness of God's name? Often God's name is used carelessly. And sadly, the only time some people use the name of God is when they're uttering a profanity. But God's name can be degraded in other ways too. And one of them is when we neglect to trust God and to pray. Like when we fail to honor God's name by claiming His promises and calling upon His name. Whenever we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, we open the door to God, who desires companionship with all of His children. You know, each week during this year, we're going to lift up a memory verse from our readings. And the verse I invite you to commit to memory for this week is there on the front of the bulletin and the front of the teaching notes. And I invite you to take it home and to let it sink into your heart. Let's read this verse together. "If my people who belong to me will humbly pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." If my people will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, I will hear them, I'll forgive them, I'll heal their land. I invite you to let that promise sink into your heart this week. And I would invite you, as you continue to go deeply into the Word of God, to find that intimate connection that God offers us in prayer.